do 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 do. Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway, a guest-guided mapping expedition to the borders of human creativity.
I'm John, and this is all my fault.
I'm Besha, and this is all my fault. John, I learned something today.
Oh.
What I learned is if you do not have enough range to hit the unlock and lock buttons on your car remote, you can hold the thing up against your skull and it amplifies it, sort of like grabbing the antenna on your old-fashioned TV. Okay, so this is helpful, but also what my coworker actually told me was stick the key in your mouth and hit the button.
Whoa.
So I started by doing that. Turns out all you need to do is push it against your head. But it can almost double your range. Now you know. Your head is full of fluids.
Uh-huh. But
and
how?
Stuff.
But the waves...
I don't know. I'm not an engineer. I'm not an electronicist.
You know what? You're right. I'm not an electromancer either.
Exactly.
So, as long as it seems to work, then who cares how, right?
Yeah.
It's just that the gods were there to propagate your signal for you.
Yeah.
And you have made proper obeisance to them.
I will say also that the way my first coworker phrased it was, if you stick it in your mouth, it bounces off your skull. which is not the explanation I've been able to find online. But I do like that image of little beepy waves just bouncing off my skull out into the ether and there to my rental car.
Oh, what was your rental car this time?
A Nissan Sentra.
Fascinating.
It's okay. Whatever.
I think that, you know what, once again, as last time, I feel like it is time that we brought our guest back immediately.
Yes.
Because I have more questions for him as well. Please welcome back Mike Doom.
Mike Doom.
Hey.
All right.
That sounds like Doom, right? Can I start with Doom?
I want yours to be the canonical voice of Dr. Doom.
Oh yeah. Hey,
forever.
How nasally would that be? Hey guys. Watch out, welcome to your Doom.
Hello.
So good. So good. But okay, so here's the question. I feel like the three of us being, you know, somewhat reasonably well traveled, but I feel like the two of you way more than me, honestly. What is the proportion of rental cars you have entered that lack an aux port for audio?
At least for me, it's been very infrequent for the last 5 years, but before that, none of them would have.
Yeah.
They usually have a tape deck, right?
Right. I got into a rental car just recently. It was a current model. I think it was a Mitsubishi that straight up did not have an aux port. It expected
did it
you
have
to
a
have,
USB?
I'm not sure if it did. I think it expected you to connect your device via Bluetooth.
Wait, hold up. Wait. How Mitsubishi doesn't make cars anymore, do they? I thought they stopped with the Lancer. Am I wrong? Or do they have the Eclipse?
I don't know. All I know is it was one of those car rental situations where they have a bunch of spaces in the garage and they just kind of the directions basically tell you to just get in a car and now it's yours.
Oh my god, that's the best.
Yeah. And so I did this, and I got in, and I went looking, because I have an ancient iPod Nano, like a 6th-gen iPod Nano that I use for my, you know, for my car listening. And I was like, where the fuck do I plug in? And after, I swear to God, I pulled out the manual from the glove compartment, and I was like, where is your fucking aux port? And there wasn't one. And it was like, but you can connect my Bluetooth. My 6th-gen iPod does not have Bluetooth. Fuck you. So I got out, and I got into the car next to it, which I think was a Ford of some kind, and it was like, here it is, boom.
Well, I remember
done.
you remember back in the day, so this is like probably probably turn of the century. Funny. And they wouldn't have CDs or tape decks, because you used to have to put in your tape deck so you could jam in your CD player, right?
Right.
And they would only have an AM/FM, but then the FM would be broken. You're like, this sucks. I love sports ball and religious radio.
Yep.
But, you know, it would be nice so I could listen to my jams while I'm going to my business meeting.
Seriously. Wow. Yeah, we have lived through a really remarkable technological change.
Right? I mean, have you thought about it? It's we know what it's like to be without technology. Kind of an interesting thought, huh? Lots of people today don't.
Did you ever run into a situation back in the day when we had landlines where when you called a buddy and then that buddy on the other end hung up their phone wrong or forgot to hang up and then rendered your phone useless?
All the time.
I was just thinking about that the other day. Like this happened to me where, like, he just left it, I don't know, like, somehow just a little off the hook or something. And
literally on a hook.
Yeah, and we couldn't use our phone for, like, hours. Hours!
Oh, they didn't have
like, a cell phone. Over to someone's house and be like, hey, hang up.
Yeah. I should have. Do. Madness. Well, other than technological reminiscences, what else is going on this show? And I'm so glad you asked. Here's what's happening. This is a show where all my friends go through all the dumb, weird, or possibly amazing ideas I've had over the last decade, because I wrote them down. Something I highly encourage everyone listening to do. In the meantime, if you hear one of mine you like, it's yours to run with. I just want credit.
I want a cut.
Mike, what's the first thing you found in my pile of ideas?
I'm going to read it in Monster Truck voice. The Cursed Earth, new name for the Red States. And category, New World. No, I'm sorry, oh, New Word, New Word, not New,
new
World.
New Word, yes. No. If only. That would be a whole different spreadsheet,
mm-hmm,
I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wanted to popularize this term. I feel like instead of Red States, we just refer to people as having come from the Cursed Earth. I should preface this by saying that I am not a reader of 2000 AD. This comes to me from the Stallone Judge Dredd movie.
Oh yes, best Dredd.
Everything outside of the city was a radioactive wasteland. They just called the Cursed Earth.
I mean, I don't want to hate on the middle of the country. So I'm not going to finish that sentence.
I mean, honestly, I feel like the Cursed Earth applies to literally any zone outside of maybe a 20-mile radius of any major city. Like, isn't it just the red states? It's kind of like, you know, it's the... I don't even know what to call it. The red counties, I suppose.
Would all of them talk really like Gollum?
The Redlands.
The Redlands. Oh, no. Oh, no. I used to live in the Redlands. Oh, no.
But yeah, that's just the new term now for any place where we know the majority of the voters went for Trump. We just call that the Cursed Earth now.
Oh man! So what happens when you go there? What does that make you? Does that make you the traveler?
That I don't know. I just wanted to popularize that one term.
I'm in. Like, I think that's amazing. I actually thought of a video game for this where it was more like, if you remember Gorillas or Worms, where you're lobbing stuff with physics back and forth,
yes,
like tanks. But I was thinking, I'm like, what would the tanks be replaced? And you know, one side has to have a wall. That would be pretty fun. But it's a flimsy wall when you hit it. It's only good for one, like, only good for one hit, right? At least, I don't know.
Yes.
And then the other one's really good about digging tunnels, and then so the wall really doesn't make any difference.
You just made me realize that I miss those games. Worms 2.
Oh, man, they're great. It's like they're totally coming back, and that's the thing. So taking a step back and like, so, hey, I make video games super fun. It all goes in cycles, and so you're totally going to see a resurgence of that, and it's probably due time for it because that was a fun game.
It was so good. My entire freshman year of college, I feel like, was spent in our buddy Brian's dorm room just playing Worms 2 and just yelling. Fuck, those games were great.
They were. So, okay, so if I make The Cursed Earth, So Basha, money will go to you. I mean, credit will go to John.
Heck yeah.
Yes.
Right? And I'll just be Phantom on it. Right? That'll be fun. That'll be fun.
I love it.
Sold.
Awesome. All right. What's next?
So I was on a learning course because I like to learn all the time. Yay, fun. The Great Course is on Audible. Highly recommended. And I heard this term, mountebank. And then it really related to Dr. John's Miracle Tonic Iron Liver, which is a party booze. And in the notes it says, try to find the right mixer for Dr. John's Miracle Tonic. And all I could think of was a mountebank, like a person who jumps up on a bench and spouts his wares, right?
Okay, so what this actually is... it's a two-parter, in a sense. So my buddy David came up with this notion a while ago. That was basically like back when Iron Chef was like super popular. Because it's always been popular.
Isn't it still popular? I love you, Food Network.
Yes, same. Yeah. So he came up with this notion of a party that he threw a few times, actually, where it was like Iron Chef, but it was for cocktails. So people would show up, and then like they would, you know, they'd arrange themselves into kind of a bracket, and you know, it's like three, you know, quote unquote mixologists at a time would be pitted against each other.
Oh, wow.
With an array of mixers, and then they would be given the mystery booze. And it was, you know, something crazy, and you had to come up with it. You had to make a drink using the mystery booze. And it was awesome. It was so much fun. He's really good at throwing parties of that type.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So, I want to go to this party.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, the last one was, God, I don't even want to think about it, probably a decade ago. But, you know, there's nothing stopping anybody else from doing it. But so here's the thing. Dr. John's Miracle Tonic was the name that I gave to any bottle where, like, if you... Because we this was something that I don't know why I would do with my friends occasionally, where we would just, you know, we would gather literally all of the bottles of booze in the house that only had about an inch left, mm-hmm. and combine all of them into one bottle.
Yeah.
And that bottle became Dr. John's Miracle Tonic. And so this party is Iron Liver for that specifically. So you have to find, everybody has to make a cocktail that actually tastes good.
I mean, Patrick, did
you
do that when you were growing up? Oh, man. I don't know. That's crazy.
No.
Don't mix?
No.
I mean, it's like, it's sort of like, you're like, take Dr. John's Miracle Tonic. Maybe it won't make you blind, maybe.
Exactly. Exactly. But so that's the idea for this particular party.
I have this wonderful, vivid picture in my head of you with your Miracle Tonic. I'm going to have to draw it and send it to you. Oh, that's so fun.
Please do. Because the thing is, it's different every time, you know, depending on what you've got in the house.
Oh, man.
And so,
you should be a bartender, and you should do that as a bartender. And just go, hey, check out this drink I made. It's amazing.
Oh, hideous. Oh, hideous, glorious day. We would have to find out.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm really excited to taste it the next time we meet.
Excellent.
Do what? Not want.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that. Positivity here.
What is next on the
list?
Oh
my God, so after I get just railroaded on Dr. John's Miracle Tonic, I'd love to tuck into an Italian sausage wrapped in pizza. Like, that's it. It's just a product. Notes, nothing. Because I think it speaks for itself. That sounds so good.
Right? It's like a... I mean, it's sort of a calzone.
What would be the proportions?
I honestly kind of feel like if you... Like the proportions are already more or less right. If you take maybe a thin crust, like a slice of New York pizza.
All right.
And you get, like, just a whole-ass Italian sausage.
Interesting.
And you just wrap the pizza around it.
Spicy or mild?
Spicy.
Ooh.
I mean...
Okay.
And, yeah, and that's your meal.
Interesting. See, how I was thinking about it.
If you notice I'm not making a lot of noise, it's because I'm shaking my head right now.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. So to set precedent, there's a video game called Mario Party, and I'm called Eats a Pizza Pagano. So I love... I love pizza. Oh my God, I think it would be fantastic as like a small Italian sausage, hot Italian sausage with, I was actually thinking like, if you had like Giordano's crust on one side, so it's like the Chicago's deep dish, and then you have a little bit of New York that wraps through to the end with like a really good mozzarella. Oh. And it can't be caked in, and you can't put too much sauce in it. You can't put too much sauce. But, oh, it'd be so good.
Right? I want to see it happen, and I want to be there to taste it, because I bet it would be amazing.
Could you make, like, maybe a kiosk that would deliver it for you, right, next to bars?
At the very least, it should be a food stand, you know?
Street
like
meat.
A cart. Somebody should try it. This is street-level innovation.
Yeah, this is Dr. John's Miracle Italian Sausage wrapped in pizza.
God. Because it's self-contained, you know? I mean, like, maybe you need a piece of wax paper to just hold it or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But otherwise, like, it is a contained food. Kind of a pizza sausage burrito.
Oh.
Kinda.
Yeah. Oh, you should call this an Italian burrito. Oh my God, let's go get a food truck.
Oh God.
We could be the next Turkey Tacos, right? Come on.
Oh. I can, yes, no, you're right. Fuck.
Yeah, let's win. Let's win.
Listeners, if you don't hear from either of us for some time, that it's because we decided to go in on this and conquer the food industry.
And we had a what happens when you eat too much of that stuff? You have a coronary, like your heart stops, right? Did I go too dark on that one? I'm sorry. Oh man,
it's okay. I can't wait to find out what the next thing.
Oh my
is
God! Okay, so after you're done getting just shithouse on Dr. John's mineral tonic, or I'm sorry, miracle tonic. And then eating a big Italian sausage wrapped in pizza, what do? You question on what if the doctor was a thief?
Yes. Yes. Okay. It's, this is...
I mean, that sounds amazing, because, he could get away with so much hijinks.
Yes. It's an idea that I had for, like, maybe an alternate universe version of Doctor Who, where instead of going around helping people, all he does is steal shit.
So is he Loki then? This is totally like the story of Loki. Yeah. Stealing, doing silly crap.
But I don't feel like Loki can time travel.
This is true. This is true. Yeah. I think that's a good point. So what would
major
he steal?
Disadvantage.
What would he steal? Would he steal like... we wouldn't know because he's probably already stole it because, you know... I'm going with Hollywood time travel here. We already don't know what he stole.
The thing is that I think that the show then becomes about the people who are... Like, it's probably a whole team of people who have been assigned to try to chase him and
oh my God,
make him
give
like
it
all back.
Oh, my God. This is like Time Cop. Is it Jean-Claude Van Damme versus the doctor?
River Song as his parole officer.
Oh, that would be amazing. and then it starts off and you go, they have history together. That's terrible good.
That's a...
Hello, sweetie.
Oh,
you're under
God.
Arrest again, doctor.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ, stop stealing things.
It's so good. What have we done?
Would the UK make this, or would this be like one of the ex-UK, you know, provinces, like the United States would make it, or maybe where is another place they conquered? I forget.
I definitely want to see this in like first season Torchwood production values, old school BBC.
Yeah, I agree. Oh my God. Somebody please make this happen.
Yeah, please. Everyone listening to this podcast, come on, make it happen. This sounds great. Come on,
wait.
Friends from BBC.
Oh, hold up, though. I mean, what if... Jesus Christ. What if it's a future incarnation? Like, what if it's the 21st Doctor? He just decides it's time to just start stealing shit. And so all of the other Doctors have to team up and stop it.
Oh man, that's totally the Christmas episode. That's a Christmas episode.
Yes.
Okay, so the next one that I'm looking at is games from strangers. So the category is website, tags, project management, of all things. And then games reimagined, right? Games reimagined by vague descriptions from people who have never played them.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, that's what it is. All right, so you go out on the street, you have, you know, you bring a microphone with you, and you just find some random person, and you ask, hey, do you ever play Mega Man? And they'll say no. And you say,
perfect.
What do you think Mega Man is? And then they tell you, and then you have to go home and build it.
Can I just use this? So me making video games, I want to go and interview people and just do this and put it at, and just release it, because that's amazing.
Yes.
Do it.
That's yes.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, man. So I'm going to come up with you and go, okay, so I got this game. It's called Teletubbies Balloon Pop. Okay, John, go. Tell me what it's about.
It's a game where you play as Teletubbies, and the projections on top of their heads are sharpened, and well, not sharpened, but they're just there. They're just shapes, and you have to pop a rain of balloons comes down from the top of the screen, and you have to maneuver the Teletubbies in a way that makes them pop the maximum number of balloons before the sun comes up.
Oh, that's exactly what the game is about. Actually, I got this game, and it's called Teletubbies. Memory match. What is it? Wait, that was for Besha. That's not for John.
Oh, sorry.
Teletubbies memory match. It's everyone's favorite game. Where I mean, I feel like this one kind of seems a little more a little easier to guess. You have to guess what's in the. You have to memorize what's in the picture, and then. The picture goes away, and then you have to match what objects were in the picture, but they're Teletubbies. Turns out I can't explain games for shit.
No, you did a great job. That's exactly what the games are. Oh my god, yeah. The first game is you pop balloons and you learn things. The other one is you flip cards over and you learn things. So there you go. Wow, you're both amazing at describing games. I'm telling you, this is a great tactic.
Okay, so Mega Man, you are a guy who's like, I think, kind of a robot, and you run around and shoot things.
Uh-huh.
That's all I've got.
Like, would someone be named Cutsman, or, like, who names him?
You know, Mega Man and his buddy, really big guy.
It's like, yeah, it's like Mega Man and then, like, Okay Dude.
God.
Like a drunk history for video games,
yeah, right?
From the 80s.
I'm okay with it. It sounds great.
This is an entire game studio. Yeah, it's an entire studio's worth of output.
And if you wanted, I honestly don't know what the relative effort involved is, but I feel like you could, if you didn't want to make a whole game, you could animate a short sequence of what it would look like playing that game, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Depends on your resources.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Do the Teletubbies bounce?
Expensive. Like, of course they do.
Do they bounce into the bubbles and pop them with their head shapes?
Oh, it's actually out on the App Store right now. So what you do is balloons come up from the bottom of the screen, and you tap on them, and they pop, and then they say the letter or shape or word, I'm sorry, or phrase inside of it. So, like, it has a red hat, it says pop, and it goes, red! Right? So it's made for kids that are 3 and under. So really basic, and you get to pop things, and they love it.
I really was holding out for John's idea about how the projections on the top of their heads are sharpened.
Well, there's like this whole thing called the Slendy Tubbies. You should go look those up. That's kind of weird. And that's exactly what you're just talking about.
Oh, God.
It's creepy.
Oh, God. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, no, it's nightmare fuel.
God.
It's nightmare fuel. Yeah, did you just look it up?
God.
Yeah, nightmare fuel.
Yep.
I refuse.
Oh, God.
I refuse.
Oh.
Just the concept alone is
not
right.
Don't do it, John. Don't do it. Jesus.
Okay. Yeah, no, don't look. Don't look. It'll make you cry. I'm sorry for doing that.
Oh, amazing.
The audience, I'm sorry.
All right. Well, on that note, let's get the last idea on the spreadsheet.
Oh, man. So the last idea is a doozy. It less was, I would say this, just the preface. It was less about Star Trek and more about the idea of the game, which is shuttle game, Telluride backseat driver.
Okay. Okay.
Which is, I love them as the characters. I love them. But I'm like, oh man, how fun would it be where you actually don't have control? I was thinking it would be like some sort of Siri game where you just talk to it, right?
Yeah. Okay, so here's the idea. The idea came from somebody had this, and I tried it. It's actually a VR game where you are supposed to dock a shuttlecraft with the Enterprise, but the controls that it gives you are kind of opaque, right? Like there's a bunch of levers that you have to pull and things, and it affects, you know, the roll, the pitch, and the yaw, and the kind of there's a throttle. It's hard as hell, and I imagined a version of this with a Tellarite in the backseat who would just hurl insults at you the whole time, because that's what they do.
Yeah, I mean, but they would be like very apt, right?
Oh yeah,
descriptions of what you're doing wrong.
Yes, exactly. Because so for those of you who are not Star Trek nerds, Tellarites are one of the four founding species of the Federation, and their whole deal is that they love arguing and they love insults, and that's just their whole deal. They look like pig men, and they're hilarious. That's what I wanted.
And they
to play.
Just sit in the back and yell at you.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic. You know, like, how would you deal with that under pressure? It'd be quite challenging.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I think you should make this completely voice activated game, though. It was like, what happens if you are
the
backseat driver, right? And it's like, you have to. That's when I was looking at this, I'm like, oh man, it would be really fun if you were the backseat driver and you had to coach the person to move and do things, but you have to do it through voice, and they would. And, you know, Siri doesn't pick up stuff appropriately. Imagine the hilarity that would happen. Like, because it would sort of be like a scribble knots, right? And so what would come up? I don't know.
I love both of these.
Yeah, that would be so much fun.
They could exist side by side. I'd be okay with it. Well, I believe we have now reached that part of the show where we either have a terrible recommendation or we showcase an idea from our guest. Mike, what have you got for us?
So why don't we have a terrible recommendation?
Amazing.
So this recommendation is you need to buy the original Xbox and you have to get a original Xbox controller. And if you remember those, they were made for big, fat American hands. Really big, right? And they're terrible. So what I want you to do is you put the controller on the ground. I'm sorry, on the wherever you're sitting, and then you sit on the controller, right? And you play this game called Kabuki Warriors. Wiggle your butt left and right. No bullshit. You'll beat the game. We have proof. And we've done it. It's fantastic. We've got to put it on YouTube or something. But yeah, terrible recommendation. You will totally win Kabuki Warriors, again, if you put a controller and you wiggle your butt left and right on the controller.
Oh. You are a madman in the best way possible. This is so good. Thank you for this. Thank you for everything that you do.
And thank you. This has been so much fun.
Oh, so good. So good. All right. Well, perhaps we should now let everybody know where we can be found on the internet. For me, it's easy, thanks to my friend Jen, who is Jennifer Marie on Twitter. You can find links to my Twitter, Instagram, and highly entertaining newsletter all in one place at flavor.country. Go there now.
You can find me on Twitter as Besha, B-E-S-H-A.
You can find me at builtgames.com on any social medias.
Excellent. And you know, if there were a recent release from you that people might want to go find?
Oh, that's a really good tee-up. Yeah, so there's a couple of releases that we just had. Go look at Broad City High Score on the iOS App Store. Fun little game.
Excellent.
If you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe to the show by searching Idea Factory Giveaway in your podcast app of choice and let John know if it doesn't pop up. If you're already there, go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating and or a nice review. It would help us out a lot. If you've already done that, why not tell a friend?
Why not tell all your friends? Thanks for listening, and remember, if you've heard an idea you like, go ahead and do it. I just want credit.
And I
want
a cut.